welcome to the last Movie Outpost Frequencies with me, not George Lucas. Well, this is something that I've wanted to do for an awfully long time. Do a little podcast. And thanks to the guys at LMO have let me join their ranks in doing reviews and videos and stuff. Hopefully you've enjoyed them. Thought we'd do a little podcast just with me on my own at the moment. But hopefully we're going to get some massive guests in at some point in time. Basically anybody I can do an impression of. But I thought I'd talk to you just about movies. I am an avid movie watcher, and so I just thought I'd talk to you about some of the movies I've seen over the last week or so. Chances are you've heard of most of them, but I'm guessing there's probably one or two that you've never heard of. So, in the last week, I'm going to start with, I can't remember exactly where it was, but I'm going to start with Cinderella. You might have seen my review on the last Movie Outpost. Wasn't massively impressed. It was a shame because it could have been a good movie. There were some good original songs in there. The Cinderella we're talking about is on Amazon at the moment with Camila Cabello and Billy Porter and Nicholas Galitzine, is it? I don't read very well, so. It could have been a good movie, but it just wasn't. It butchered a couple of the classics, which was quite a shame. I think if you've probably got an 8-year-old daughter, she's probably going to love that, but anybody older than that is probably not going to enjoy it. I've been having a bit of a Bond fest. This isn't in line with No Time to Die, I had to think then. This isn't in line with No Time to Die coming out. This is just because Drunken Yoda has done his videos on Bond, so I thought I'd watch them. So I have been through them, but this week I watched Tomorrow Never Dies, which is, I think, the last of the good Pierce Brosnan ones. It's the one with Jonathan Pryce as the bad guy who runs the newspaper. It's got Michelle Yeoh and Terry Hatcher in it. And like I say, to me, it was kind of like the last of the decent Brosnans. I also watched, now, in our list of the greatest 50 bad guys, there was a movie called Prophecy with Viggo Mortensen. Now, whilst looking for that, I found another movie called Prophecy from 1979 by John Frankenheimer. So I thought, oh, I'll give that a show, give that a go. Very odd movie. It's described on the IMDb as a log company's waste mutates the environment, creating a giant killer bear monster. So, you know, you have to watch a film like that because that sounds great. It was not bad. It was dated. There was one fabulous moment where there's a camper in a sleeping bag who gets hit by the bear, and he basically gets thrown into a rock and then explodes in feathers, which I don't understand what they were going for with that, but it was really funny. If you like that 80s video nasty type thing and you're looking for something that you haven't seen before, Prophecy was quite good. Also on the 50 Best Bad Guys list, the name of Dwight Yoakman came up in Sling Blade, made in 1996 and directed by Billy Bob Thornton. So I thought I'd give that a try as well. I was disappointed with Dwight. I didn't think he was as bad guy as people were making out. I've seen a lot worse. Don't get me wrong, he's horrible. He's horrible, but he's just not as good. Billy Bob Thornton stars in the film as well, and I've got to say, it kind of annoyed me a bit because he talks like this all the time, and he seems to have like a permanent smile on his face, like he's straining his face, and I don't know why, that just annoyed me. But the film was very good, very, very well directed. Oh, goodness me. Goodness me, did you hear that? That was my phone picking up a signal. God, don't hear those these days. Anyway, last week on TV was The BFG, the 2016 version by Steven Spielberg starring Mark Rylance. I didn't like this. It's the third time I've tried to watch it, and I actually got through to the end of it, mainly because it was just on TV and there was nothing else on. There is no spark or magic in it. I know that all the special effects make it look very, you know, magical and everything else, but I don't know. Spielberg lost his spark, I think, back in, what was it, 1999, Jurassic Park, for summer blockbusters. He hasn't, I mean, he's been making some fabulous movies, obviously, but that BFG didn't rate that at all. The World Is Not Enough. This is where Pierce Brosnan's Bond start falling down. It's the one with Sophie Marceau, and you'll probably not even remember Robert Carlyle. I think Bob Carlyle was supposed to be the bad guy in this, but it was actually Sophie Marceau. Spoilers, if you haven't seen it, it's your own stupid fault. But it is the one with Denise Richards where she plays Dr. Christmas. And after a lovemaking session, Bond does say, "Oh, and I only thought Christmas comes once a year." That was quite amusing. Right, now here's one I'm betting you've never heard of. Black Moon, directed by Lewis Mill. It's described as, to escape a gender war, a girl flees to a remote farmhouse and becomes part of an extensive family's unusual, perhaps even supernatural lifestyle. Can't remember where I found this. It came up somewhere. It was, like I say, it's called Black Moon. It's made in 1975. Very bizarre movie. Very bizarre. It's not for the faint-hearted or easily offended, I would say, because of some of the imagery that's in there. I did quite like it. But it was just, it was very bizarre. It's about a girl looking for a unicorn that can talk. And there's an old grandmother who gets breastfed by one of the children and things. It was really odd. But if you like something a bit different and something that's not too Hollywood, highly recommended. Die Another Day. 2002, the last of the Pierce Brosnan, James Bonds. This was awful. I like Halle Berry, I like Rosamund Pike, I like Toby Stevens. But this was the one with the ice sculpture and the surfing. Needn't I say more? It was quite a travesty of a movie. It was badly directed as well. Lee Tomahori, I think it is, directed it. And he put in things like slow motion and stuff like that. That's not fitting to a Bond. It was, yeah, I was not a fan of this. It was a shame it was Brosnan's last one, because I actually like Pierce Brosnan as James Bond. I actually thought he was quite good. Not the best, but he was quite good. And it was a shame. Now, I did manage to sit down and watch, I don't know why this came up, but Excalibur from 1981 by John Boorman. This is an outstanding movie. It is absolutely fantastic. Described as Merlin the Magician helps Arthur Pendragon unite the Britons around the Round Table of Camelot, even as dark forces conspire to tear them apart. Now, this is one of those films you've either seen it or you haven't, and if you haven't, I highly recommend it. Most knight movies and King Arthur movies are all set in these wonderful rolling hills of England where all the knights are pristinely polished and everything else. This movie is not that. The knights are covered with blood. They're covered with mud. It is a very dirty looking film. What I imagine is a very realistic looking film. It's really, really well done. It's a little bizarre. It's just one of those movies that it's a hidden gem of a film. If you haven't seen Excalibur, highly recommended. The Land Before Time came up. So I thought I would give it a go because I don't think I've actually seen it. 1988, directed by Don Bluth. The only major star I recognised was Pat Hingle, who did the narration for it. Not as funny as Ice Age. That's all I can say about that. I didn't realise also there's about 10 of them. But anyway, yeah, not a fan. Now, somebody else, a horrible person, recommended The Mighty from 1998 even, directed by Peter Chisholm, starring Kieran Culkin, Eden Henson, Sharon Stone and Harry Dean Stanton. It's described as two young boys, both social outcasts in a small town, form an unlikely friendship. Now, I forget who mentioned this, but I thought I'd give it a go and see what it was like. It's one of those films which is, firstly, very, very good. Very, very nice film, but it also kind of kicks you in the head at the end. That's all I'm going to say about that. I'm not going to spoil it for you. It's a really, really good film, but it's, you know, you're going to cry at the end is the thing with that. Casino Royale. Martin Campbell, who I like. 2006. First of the Daniel Craigs. This was good and I enjoyed it. However, I felt it was too long. It did. It's over 2 hours, and it tended to drag on a little bit. There was bits and pieces they thought they could have cut out, but it was good. You've got what's his name, Mads Mikkelsen as the bad guy. That is right, isn't it? It's not saying it here, but yes, it is. Yeah, it's a good film. It's definitely worth, you know, it was a good introduction. Then I watched Quantum of Solace. Kind of instantly forgettable, unfortunately. The only thing I can remember about that is there's a desert at the end. That's a horrible thing to say. I'm so sorry for all the people that made that. But again, it was just kind of a instantly forgettable Bond. Skyfall. Now, I'm funny with Skyfall because it is quite good. Javier Bardem is very good. But again, it's just dragging this whole Bond thing out. I think I read Lee Child, who wrote the Tom Cruise movie, Jack Reacher, said that Bond should die. And Lee Child was actually asked to write a couple of Bonds, and he turned them down both times because he thought he was quite antiquated. I completely get that. Bond is really now dragging out. Like I say, No Time to Die. I probably will see it, but I'm going to watch it when it's on streaming because I've got no interest in seeing it in the cinema. Now we come on to more interesting things. Malignant, 2021. Directed by James Wan. I've done a review of this on the site, so that is kicking around somewhere. This had incredible potential to be a great movie. However, unfortunately, it fell down in the storytelling. There, if you've read my review, there are major plot details which aren't explained. And this really annoyed me all the way through because I just kept thinking, no, wait, how is this happening without any kind of explanation? And also the set direction was not very good. This is not a spoiler, but the main bad guy in this, you find out, is somebody called Gabriel. Now, Gabriel has a studio office. It's not an office, but I mean somewhere where he's working. There's a massive, great industrial fan in the background. Now, this looks great on the screen, but then there is absolutely zero explanation on how that fan got there. I know this is like a really, really picky thing to do, but the rest of the film goes into so much detail about the story. You'd think they would explain how somebody was able to get an industrial fan into the location where he was without anybody noticing it from the outside as well. So, yeah, it was the devil's in the detail, as they say. So Malignant was good and you may enjoy it, but I found it a little annoying. This was random. Cleopatra, 1970. Now, this was a Japanese animation about three people who were sent from the future back in time to find out what Cleopatra's plan was to save humans in the future. Again, how can you not watch a film like this? I mean, this was bizarre. It was mildly titillating. It was 2 hours and it did drag on. Now, I don't recall if I've seen Cleopatra with Elizabeth Taylor in it. And if it's the same story, I think it would probably be quite good. But it did drag on, this animation. But it was quite amusing. It did make me laugh in places. I think my favourite moment in it is when a girl drank a potion that was so hot, steam came out of her mouth, ears, nipples and belly button. So you can imagine what kind of film that was. Very, very bizarre. It starts off with three scientists who are three actors, but their heads are made into cartoons. Very strange. Now, somebody on Twitter recommended The Special, 2020. This was an indie film by B. Harrison Smith, starring David Ralphie. I have a bit of an issue with independent movies because the production is not always great on them. And this is one of those films where the production you can see is shot cheaply in the nicest way. The actors are very good. The story is wonderfully bizarre. It says, the IMDb says, suspecting his wife of infidelity, Jerry follows his friend down a dark rabbit hole into a horror landscape of addiction. And I think that's all I'm going to say about that. If you get a chance to watch it and you want to watch something like you've never seen before, highly recommended. It was very, very good. I thoroughly liked the end. The end was brilliant. Yeah, very, very strange film. Willow. 1988 by Ron Howard with Val Kilmer and Warwick Davis. Now, I haven't seen this for years. an awfully long time. So I thought, oh, yeah, go on, Willow, I'm just going to sit down and watch that. This is still great. Warwick Davis, bless him, is not the greatest actor in the world. I do love him very much, but he's not the best actor in the world. And to be fair, I don't think much of the other cast are taking things desperately seriously. But overall, it was really, really good, and I really enjoyed it. It is a fantasy adventure, produced by George Lucas. And yeah, I'm sure you've heard of it, and I'm sure you've not seen it in a while. It's worth a revisit. The special effects are a little dated now. And also, it was very funny to see one of the little brownies, which is one of the little creatures, was played by Kevin Pollock. It's really random. Controversial one now. Karen, 2021. Directed by Coke Daniels, starring Tanya Manning. Tyron Manning, I think. I apologise for my reading, it's terrible. Described as a racist woman takes it on a personal mission to displace the new black family that has moved into the neighbourhood, but they won't back down without a fight. Now, we put up a trailer about this a little while ago, I think. It was the wrong tone for the subject, because they took everything very, very seriously. And because of how serious they took it, including there was a whole big Black Lives Matter message at the end of the movie, it actually seemed quite disrespectful, I felt. It was funny in places, unintentionally, and it was just not a very well-made film. I think if they'd made it into maybe like a black comedy, it might have worked. But I would honestly say stay away from it. Unless you want to watch it to be offended, just stay away from it. It was not good. The last movie I've seen this week, which I finished last night, was Demonic by Neil Blomkamp, 2021. Now, I was looking forward to this. I like Neil. I like his storytelling. I love the way he does special effects and so forth. He is extremely good. However, how can I describe this without ruining the story? It's a modern take on a sort of classic story of exorcism, demonic possession and so forth, but it's done in a futuristic type way. Again, as with the movie earlier that I mentioned, what was it? Come on, brain. Oh, goodness me, I can't remember which one I was talking about. Malignant, sorry, that was it. Oh, it was only a little while ago. Malignant was a very good idea, but I don't think particularly well executed. Demonic was the same. It was a good idea, but it just, I don't know, it didn't, I really wanted to like it, but I couldn't bring myself to like it. That's a horrible thing to say. But it didn't kind of work. If you like a good horror, it's worth a view, and you may see it completely differently to me. But I wasn't massively impressed. It's on Prime Video at the moment. You can watch it, but I mean, it would probably be better to watch it when it's free on TV with adverts. So I was aiming to make these things about 30 minutes, so I'm just going to have a little ramblings of my own as opposed to the movies that I've watched. I should today watch my 700th movie this year, which is in some respects sad, but in other respects, legend. Anyway, in the news, in case you've missed some of it, first of all, actually, that's one thing I do want to say, is the top 10 best movie bad guys that we had. Thank you to everyone that casted a vote and sent me an email and everything else. It was a really interesting list. Some of it did annoy me, I won't lie. People like Big B from Trainspotting didn't even get a mention. And I still say Clancy Brown from Shawshank Redemption didn't get a mention as well. There's a few other names that just didn't pop up. But the top 10 list I thought was very interesting. Particularly number 6, I think it was Jeremy from Forrest Gump. she... a lot of you sort of argued the point that she's not the bad guy, but she is certainly villainous in the movie. It was quite interesting. Actually, looking up the details on her and downloading some video to make the video with, there's a few other videos online about how evil Jenny is. They're worth watching because a couple of them were actually quite funny. But yeah, thank you to everybody for that. If you have any other suggestions for things that we might do like that, please feel free to email us. I think we're going to be getting emails now at the new site. But in the meantime, my email address is notgeorgelucas1@gmail.com. You can email me anything that you might want to hear on the podcast, or any other news that you might have, or anything else like that we can talk about. We've had the new site launched. Now, it's not much different from the old site, but apparently it runs a lot smoother and it's all a lot better. It's all the sort of workings in the engines and everything else, which Drunken Yoda's done an excellent job at. So thank him for that. You might have missed it. The next Indiana Jones could be, surprise, surprise, a woman. Phoebe Waller-Jones. Now, I've not seen Fleabag, but a lot of people, some people say it's the greatest thing ever made, and other people say it's completely overrated. I do want to try it, and it's kind of on my list of things to watch, but I just haven't got around to it yet. But her as Indiana Jones, why do they do these things? Why does Hollywood do this to us? Okay, just leave. The man with the hat is the man with the hat. Okay, he is Harrison Ford. Just let him die when, unfortunately, Harrison Ford goes. Yeah, it's a shame. Not much else sort of in the news, apart from Norman MacDonald. Now, I feel absolutely terrible saying this, but I have never heard of him. I don't recall ever seeing him, any of his monologues, any of his writing or anything. The name, it's been all over Twitter, and I have no idea who he is. I am planning on rectifying that by watching some of the clips that have been posted. But it's obviously sad news when anybody dies, especially to cancer. I lost my father to cancer. It's incredibly upsetting. But I've just not heard of Norm. But I need to fix that. The other thing is, and this is an awful, shameless self-promotion, but the walking tour of Hot Fuzz. I live just down the road from Wells in Somerset. And that is apparently where it's Edgar Wright's hometown. And one of the reasons why he shot Hot Fuzz there, it was an interesting day. I'd been up to Wells previously because I had to go to the opening of an art exhibition where I'm not displaying, but a friend of mine is, and they wanted me to represent them because they hate doing public things. And I've got no shame and do whatever. So anyway, I went up on the Friday, had a good look around, had a meal up there. It was quite nice. And then I had to go up on the Saturday and we were doing a thing from 1 o'clock. So I had the morning. So I thought, all right, okay, I'm going to go down and take photos of where they shot Hot Fuzz. I did my homework the day before. There's a couple of great websites which actually give you the geolocations of where some of the places were filmed and the screenshots from the movie, which is how I was able to take such decent photos, which I could then take from the screenshot from the film and blend them in, if you haven't seen them. Wells is beautiful. I describe it as a town, but it's actually a city because it's got a cathedral in. That's the qualification of a city in the UK. But it's a town. It's not a huge place. It's quite small. But it's beautiful. Fantastic places to eat. Very interesting little shops. And they shot Hot Fuzz there. How cool is that? You can go around sort of going, oh, right, that's where Nicholas Angel did this. And that's where Tim Messenger got his head caved in from the from the roof. Plinth? That's not the right word, is it? Plinth? The thing on the roof that gets pushed over and lands on his head. See, I'm well educated here, can't you? Yeah, it was definitely worth it. And somebody actually mentioned in the talkback that if you live near somewhere where a movie was shot, go and take some photos. Try and get the same shot and then send it in to us, because I think it would be an interesting little article. Where I live, Hot Fuzz is the closest thing that we've got to like a movie set near me. But yeah, if you know that, do that. notgeorgelucas1@gmail.com. Email it through to us, or contact@thelastmovieoutpost.com. I keep saying this is all like about me. I do apologise. This is all for the good of Last Movie Outpost. This is not just about me. This is about The Last Movie Outpost. And that's pretty much all I'm going to talk about. I was going to try and make these things, like I say, about half an hour. So hopefully my ramblings have enjoyed, you've enjoyed them, and it's not been too boring. I plan to, I'm begging people on Twitter for interviews. Like, for example, Courtney Palm, who was in Zombievers. Hopefully, fingers crossed, we'll get an interview with her one day, because she's great, and a few other people. And I might also have another interview lined up with somebody. But, I mean, I'm not saying anything, because I don't want to jinx it. I don't want to get everybody's expectations up. It's not a huge star, but you've definitely heard of them. But then also, I was thinking we could probably interview some of our readers. So if you fancy coming on and just having a chat about movies with either myself or maybe Drunken Yoda or Dom, because we're planning on doing videos more often as well, anything that might be of interest to you, give us a shout and see what the deal is. And so, yeah, like I say, yeah, maybe you can come on and have a chat with us. Wonder if that's a good idea or not. Don't really want to speak to any of you people, really. I'm joking, of course. Anytime I get a chance to nerd out with somebody and talk about movies, I am a happy man. That's why I enjoy working with Drunken Yoda and Dom on the frequencies. Because it's always interesting just having a good old chat with everybody. I think the three of us are generally quite, what's the word, on the same page. With certain movies and stuff, but then when we're not, it always gives a interesting discussion. So anyway, I am now going to wrap this up. This is my first ever podcast, and like I say, I've always wanted to do one. I hope you've enjoyed it. I hope I get more than 6 downloads, and that's my target figure. I was aiming at 4.2 million, thought that was a little bit too much, so I've brought it down to just 6 people have a listen to that. And then next week I shall be back with some more movies, maybe some interviews, maybe some other bits and pieces. But in the meantime, have fun, watch lots of good films, carry on reading thelastmovieoutpost.com, and I am not George Lucas.